Greetings, citizens of Earth. You are barking a happy tune with my pal Smurf of Smurf and the Magic Tones on 5280 Geek.
Live from the Figgis Studios, it is Weekend Geek Update. Smurf here, returning with the latest and greatest in topics that are just catching my eye. My take on a few hot buttons, if you will. Some of the geekdom that is at large. Geekdom at large. Sounds like it should be a warning on the pack of a box of cigarettes or something. Yeah, there you go. Today's social awareness. Yes, our public service announcement for the day. Geekdom at large. Anyway, let's get going. Let's see what's going on. But before we do, we want to give a nice big shout out to our sponsor, who is none other than the absolutely beautiful person, Susie, who runs Susie Q's, the purveyor and maker of some fine jewelry. You can find her link in the description, as well as if you would like, just go to Facebook, Instagram, or her webpage, SusieQ's.com, and you can see her works. You can purchase them. There are lots to choose from. There's lots of different styles, necklaces, bracelets, earrings. Just a plethora of some gorgeous work, one of a kind that you are not going to find anywhere, because Susie makes them by hand, because the woman is a skilled blacksmith. That is right, a skilled blacksmith. Every time I think of that, I can just visualize Knight's Tale and Susie in medieval days doing her armor for Keith. Ledger. Heath Ledger. Excuse me. Keith. Sorry, I was reading something in front of me. Heath Ledger. So, yes, Susie making armor. Telling you, zombie apocalypse. Kidnapping Susie. Or I'm just hunkering down there. Which, we will have Susie on the show coming up. We will be doing an interview with her. So, you guys will be able to see the inner workings of the blacksmith's cave of Pantheon goodness. Yeah, I don't know if those words go together, but it sounded good. Anyway, there you go. So what is going on in the Geekverse? Well, it would be a very remiss day if I didn't bring up WandaVision, of course. Because it's been a couple weeks since I've been on. And to tell the truth, absolutely freaking amazing. I mean, holy shitballs. I am absolutely stunned at the skill in which they have just pulled people in, have told this story, and it is absolutely perfect. It's everything that I expected. And, of course, you know, Agatha's appearance as the witch kind of behind all of it, not surprised, absolutely on point. And, of course, we get Captain Marvel, as I predicted, but we don't know what name she's going to go through when we're done with this. So it's very curious to see how that plays out and works into the next phase for Marvel. So I'm very anxious to see what the last two episodes hold in store, because there's some interesting twists, I think, yet to come. Because we don't know who else is in this town. And I don't know if I'm holding to the Mephisto theory as much as I was, but I still think someone or something is running the show besides Agatha. And Agatha, I mean, I'm not upset. I kind of consider her more of a Fantastic Four or Doctor Strange villainous character. I mean, she's kind of gone back and forth in regards to her alliance. So I don't know. And I know with them hinting or saying that Hellstrom is supposed to be coming, that could come out of this. I still think it's I want to say Mephisto, but looking at like the color schemes and everything, my money might be on Despair. Despair is a Marvel character from, I guess, I don't want to say back in the day, but I mean, we haven't seen the likes of him for quite a while. And given what's going on in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, it would kind of make sense. And given what Wanda's state of mind is, feeding off of her her anger, her disparagedness over losing Vision and Quicksilver and all of that, it's very intriguing. And of course, Despair is kind of like a dark black purpley image of a villain. He's kind of more of a shadow, I guess. But he's still kind of an imposing character. So what he is or who he is remains to be seen, if he's going to even show up in WandaVision. He may not. There may be hints. There's so many Easter eggs when you're dealing with the show that it's difficult to say, okay, it's definitely this. So they just kind of keep giving us these weird curves, and I'm absolutely enjoying it. I love that they turned the FBI agents into clowns. That absolutely made perfect, beautiful sense to me. I applauded. I did. I had to stop. But I'm very anxious to see what happens, because I know all of this is going to lead into the further projects that they have in store, especially when you're seeing stuff like they released this week in Doctor Strange news, as far as the new film. They're going to be bringing a new character, or at least there's rumors of it, that Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness is going to bring in basically a dimensional hopping Minotaur. We haven't seen him. I don't think I've seen him for a while. I mean, he was kind of huge back in the 70s, I believe. Rintrah, is from another planet. He's a big green Minotaur, but his abilities are able to jump from dimension to dimension, and I can see that playing well with what's going on, because I honestly thought we were going to see, and we may still see him, Doctor Strange in WandaVision, because when they were talking about, well, you know, we're going, I got a friend that I'm going to meet up the hill, I honestly thought it was going to be Doctor Strange. I really did. I was like, oh, this will be perfect, because we do know that Wanda's in Doctor Strange. She's already been announced, so I can see that there, I would imagine that there would be a connection, especially with Agatha now being part of it, that they would kind of just kind of bring this all together to one big fruition. At least I would think, but that's the thing with when you're dealing with Marvel and Disney, who knows what kind of craziness they've got up their sleeve, because it's, I mean, I know at the beginning everybody was bashing, everyone's just like, but it really has played out quite well, quite ingeniously. And to see, you know, Vision trying to make it right. He's still Vision inside. Will we see Wonder Man? There's also been other things that have been thrown out there as far as regards of we may actually even see Squadron Supreme, which I don't know. I'm not like the largest Squadron Supreme, and Hyperion is pretty much an unstoppable force like Superman. So Marvel Superman. It's very interesting, and of course there are other characters that I think that are witches or sorcerers that are trapped in the hex field. So maybe we'll see some of them come about. It's a very, very intricately driven story, because let's face it, everything has had a purpose. So what happened to the twins? Are we going to see Wiccan from Young Avengers, which I think is absolutely doable? I thought that was great. So cool. But we'll see. There's a lot to disseminate, and we'll see what happens with Doctor Strange. I'm very excited to see if they do bring in the Minotaur, because I think that would be kind of a cool character to have. I mean, they've basically shown that there's no limits with what they can do for CGI, especially as integrated as the Hulk was in the last Avengers film. So, and Thanos. But maybe they have a smaller budget. No, they don't. So we'll see what they do come up with. And in the meantime, we sit anxiously by to see what happens this week and if Quicksilver does return. Am I going to be right? And this is how they're going to bring about mutants? Maybe. I don't know. It's a good question. We'll see. Maybe. Fingers crossed. What else? So as we move on, this week coming up, we do have two things to announce. Next week, we will be doing our Munch Madness, our annual event to kick off March. And it's the usual bracket elimination of which cereal should survive. But it's a little bit different this year. Red and I had come up with the concept, especially after trying to figure out, okay, which cereals are we going to use for the Munch Madness? So, of course, the returning champion of Cinnamon Toast Crunch is absolute, but what else? So this is kind of more like the apocalypse has happened, which it did, and which cereals are left on the shelf? Which ones would you take home given a choice? So there's a few, not off brands, but flavors that make you stop and go, One of them, I think we decided on, was Skittles. There's a Skittles cereal. And I just really had to stop and wrap my brain around that. Now, Baby Yoda does have a cereal. Unfortunately, it is limited time. So given the parameters and the thought behind this year's Munch Madness, we decided, well, if it's limited and it's the apocalypse and they're sold out of everything, then Yoda probably would have been the first to go. I mean, that box is, he's just so adorable, and he's got the little yellow puffs that look like eggs, and yep, you're killing babies. Anyway, no, you're not. I'm sorry. I take that back. It's a horrible image. But the Munch Madness is coming. You'll see that next week starting Monday. And make sure to put your vote in to see which cereal may be able to usurp Cinnamon Toast Crunch. I don't know. It's such, Wendell is such a juggernaut in the world of cereal. He is the god of cereal. Like Odin. He's the Odin of cereals. Yeah, speaking of Odin, side note, is anyone watching American Gods? Is anyone even, like, because I've heard, like, so many rumblings of other shows going on, even, like, Alan Tudyk's series on Sci-Fi where he's the alien, and I started watching that, but I'll give you guys a take on that once I've caught up, because I've only, like, watched a couple of episodes, and I know I'm a few behind, but there will be a coming episode of my take on that. But there's also the one with the space rats, or the hoodlums, I can't remember. It's also on Sci-Fi. It's a cosplayer's dream is what that show is, and it's kind of fun. It's got a lot of different elements to it. I wish I could remember the name of it, but another show that I will have my take on once again after I get caught up on it. So, but no one, and I mean no one has, I haven't seen anything posted about American Gods, and I don't know if it's just not showing up in my feed because of the Facebook algorithm, but American Gods I know there were issues, I know there are problems, and I'm still really upset about Orlando Jones no longer being there as a Nazi, which I thought was probably one of the driving characters, and Ian McShane, of course, can do no wrong in my eyes because the man is just freaking brilliant. But I just haven't heard anybody talking about it. So I don't even know if it's any good. And since I don't have stars any longer, I haven't really even tried to watch it. So I don't know. If you've got input, if you have reactions, or if you even have a thought or emotions about it, send me a line. I'd be curious because I don't want to write this show off. I was excited when they started it. I remember the anxious energy of ooh, ooh, ooh. And then season two ended, and oh my God, I just wanted to die in a car fire. I was not happy with, and none of it made sense. None of it followed the books. It was so many weird happenings going on in that. So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this is the best season yet. Maybe they got back on track. I don't know. I wish I could tell you, but I'm just not up to date with American Gods. So if you are, let me know. I'd be curious to hear what you got. But coming up in shows is this week's Walking Dead. We finally get the rest of season 10. So they, because I thought we were starting the new season, but I guess this is like season 10 part C. So they're extending it, so we'll get season 11. So I guess there's still more to come, which is kind of cool. It's a little confusing. So, because I was looking at it like, well, isn't it like season 11? Aren't we going on? But I guess this is kind of like a patch up and a fill in season for the rest of 10 to go into the final season, which is going to be season 11, I guess. So I'm very anxious to see. Of course, this week I thought it was going to be, and I tune into Chris Hardwick and his nonsense, and they've got interviews and they're doing everything to talk about, you know, what to expect, and they showed the trailer, and I'm upset and I'm not, because they show the trailer or the interactions of Maggie finally seeing Negan, which I've been extremely anxious to see, just because of the fireworks that should ensue. We absolutely should see, I would think, a knockdown slobber fight of all time between Negan and Maggie. But we didn't. It's just kind of meh, meh. And maybe I wouldn't have shown that clip, and maybe there's more to come. Of course there's more to come. But it just was like, couldn't we see something else? Come on, guys. But, of course, this is the story that everyone is excited about. We're finally going to get kind of some filler on Negan's past, which extends past the comics. So this is exciting. It's I'm really, really looking forward to this. I actually will be doing my take weekly on the show. So the return of me actually writing something other than other stuff. So yeah, that was an awkward explanation. But the whole I don't know. It's going to be weird writing for Walking Dead again, because it's just gone so far from what it was. And is it good? Is it bad? That remains to be seen. So let's keep our fingers crossed, and we'll go from there. But this coming Sunday will be the next Walking Dead episode. What else is going on? What caught my eye? So the travesty that is the CW, and I have tried. I have absolutely given it every bit that I can to try and come back to the CW shows for DC. Black Lightning is interesting. It's very intriguing, and I'm captivated with that story. I want to see what happens, just because I like the characters. I like Black Lightning. I like everyone that is involved with that project, and with this being its final season, and them supposed to go over to Painkiller. I've already voiced my opinion on that, and I'm not going to go further down that. But I really enjoy Black Lightning, and I kind of can see where the story is going, and how they might end this. But, I mean, the bad thing is, when you sit and you think about it, they end the whole crisis with starting the Justice League. We finally have Justice Leaguers. And now all the shows that are going to be part of the Justice League are gone. So, final season for Supergirl. And I'm not okay. I like Melissa Benoist as Supergirl. She's done a spectacular job. And I know the stories and the character have been rather vanilla, but that is kind of Supergirl, and it's been preachy at times, and I get that. It's fine. It's actually been somewhat enjoyable. And I do like the interaction with the characters. You get Martian Manhunter. We've seen Jimmy Olsen come and go. We've seen, you know, a lot of different elements and Superman villains that I never thought we would see. And some, you know, former super show people. I mean, we had Terry Hatcher show up. I can't think of her name, but she was Lois in Smallville. So, or not Lois, Lana. No, Lois. Lois. Yeah, she played Lois. Erica Durance. There we go. Took me a second. So she's even popped up. And Helen Slater, of course, the original Supergirl, to come back and do Supergirl's mom, I thought was, you know, a great nod. Dean Cain even was in there. So to have all these characters come back and make appearances, I thought was redeemable and admirable, and I loved it. But Batwoman has just... I've tried. I really have. That show is just a garbage fire. That it is... I don't get it. It is... The writing is horrible. The approach is absolutely just heartbreaking. If... There was time. Here's what I would have done. And I'm sure you're probably wondering, what would you have done, Smurf? That's an excellent question. This is what I would have done. I would have approached it as Kate, of course, disappears. Let's bring in Cassie Kane, the Batgirl that we never saw her face for like the first, you know, 8 issues. Who is the new Batgirl? And they could have easily played that off. And I know it would have been like telegraphing, but, you know, Alfred's daughter could have easily become Batgirl wearing the cowl that completely covers her face, and that could have been the mystery. Who is the new Batgirl? And it would have actually probably played better than the nonsense that we have. And maybe even if it wasn't Alfred's daughter, or maybe if it was, you know, someone from Ra's al Ghul's clan or Talia, or it could have been anybody in that suit. But how they've approached this and the absolute nonsense the writers have given, and I've even watched the ratings on this show just plummet. I don't see this going past season 2 unless they're just going to just keep throwing this at people and just pray to God it sticks. But I would write Batgirl off as well. So we're going to see the end of Black Lightning, Batgirl, and Supergirl. So, very sad. Sad, sad, sad. We have nobody left on the CW shows. But there is a bright side to this. Not only tonight, of course, on the CW, we will see the 2-hour premiere of Superman and Lois. I'm reserving any judgments. I'm displeased with this course of action because I think it's just going to be more, you know, emotions in hallways and stairways and now barns, and, you know, 5 or 10 minutes of action, and it just reads like a really souped up Dawson's Creek. But I could be wrong. It might be something entirely different. We haven't really seen this kind of approach for Superman and kids, full super house, but there is the potential. There is the chance. So, and with, you know, kind of like one of the takes on one of the more popular Superman titles right now, there is potential. So I am reserving any kind of judgment. I have my knee jerk, and I could be wrong. I have been wrong in the past. So fingers crossed. But the one that I'm really excited about, the one that actually just started this whole thought, this whole rant, if you will, is that Stargirl has announced who's coming for the Golden Age Flash. And I talked about this in length last season during the unveiling and just how I loved Stargirl. And again, I honestly thought it was going to be something else. I honestly thought, again, emotions and feelings in hallways, stairs, you know, stairways, rooms, and, you know, various spaces with 10 minutes of action. But the show was spectacular. It was really well done, and I love when they put the villains in charge. The villains were running the show, and it was perfect. It was an absolute brilliant blend of characters, of story, of just everything. I wouldn't have done anything differently, because it was just, and there were surprises, and you get, even though you rarely saw him, Solomon Grundy, come on, that was, he's locked up in a cage. Who locks up Solomon Grundy? And it was just, I mean, it was just those little tidbits and just everything. And Owen Wilson, Luke Wilson was just perfect as Stripe. So now we are getting the rest of the story. What happened to the JSA? And, of course, the legendary J. Garrick hat that we have seen, they have announced that John Wesley's ship is going to guest star as Flash, J. Garrick. And I'm just, yes! So, evidently, it's going to be a, because I don't know how they're going to, because they've obviously now saying that Stargirl was Earth 2. Crisis happened. They've merged into our world. So I'm not sure how all of that works together. But I'm not worried about it, because what I saw from Stargirl last season was perfect. They took everything into consideration that they needed to. I mean, without a doubt, they did. And even how they ended it with Joel McHale showing back up as Starman. So is this fallout from Crisis? Is this something bigger? I don't know. It's an excellent question. Of course, everyone is anxious to see what and who shows up for the Justice Society. And I guess it's going to be a two-part story involving Jay and them kind of establishing what happened with with Justice Society and who all was part of it. I'm very hopeful. Fingers crossed. We're going to get Alan Scott's Green Lantern out of this. That would be absolutely perfect in my mind. But I know that's wishing a little too much, maybe, because unless this is how we get Diggle as Green Lantern, maybe. No, that would be too. That's too simple. That makes too much sense. But just to see Garrick again, or John Wesley Shipp as Jay Garrick, that I'm all for. Because I know we're not going to see him in Flash, which makes me sad. Because I loved him when he'd show up in Flash. I think we should have had more of him than we did. But, you know, that's just me, you know, cutting hairs. It really is. Because Lord knows how Flash is going to go. But anyway, that's just my opinion. I could be wrong. Speaking of DC news, also, Zack Snyder's gotten a new trailer out there for the Justice League, which looks great. Everybody's bagging on Joss Whedon, which I'm not sure how I feel about. Poor Joss is just under fire from just about every direction imaginable. So, way to go, Joss. Keep your head down. Hopefully, you come through better on the other side. But the trailer for Justice League is absolutely, I mean, we get a look at Darkseid, we get a look at Granny Goodness and Deseed, who, let's face it, are major players when you're dealing with Darkseid, when you're dealing with Apocalypse, and I think is probably, I mean, this is really shaping up to be quite the epic, and whatever happened in the beginning for this to fall apart and not get it and have Joss step in, I'm sure everyone's kicking themselves going, yeah, well, we should have thought that through just a wee bit better. But at any rate, the new trailer is out. If you haven't seen it, visit HBO. Yeah, I think HBO was the one that was sporting it. And speaking of, like, weird trailers that came out of the blue, Invincibles had a trailer that landed on, what was it, IMDb? Or it was like, it was YouTube or something. I was researching something. And all of a sudden, I saw this new trailer for Invincibles. And holy crap. It is, I'm really looking forward to this adaptation. I'm glad they decided to go animated, because I think it can be pretty intense. I mean, the trailer is intense, like really graphically intense. I'm really excited. Really, really, really excited. And I know there's a couple of people out there that are as big Invincible fans as I am. So to see how they adapted from the comic, and Kirkman did really a solid job on this title, on this book. And of course it ran its course, just like, well, most stories in Image do. And there's so many good elements, and there's just like some really weird twisted shit in it. So I'm curious to see how they approach the whole topic, how they the entire series. So definitely going to be worth the watch. We don't have to wait long, because I think it was March 26th that I saw a date for that landing very, very soon. March is going to be the month because, holy crap. So we get Invincible, of course, Godzilla versus King Kong, which is towards the latter part of March. We're going to have all of Walking Dead going through the month of March. And, of course, Justice League Snyder Cut again in March. So it looks like it's going to be a rather springy spring. Or something to stay in as it snows. Because, I mean, we're getting snow here in Denver. And March is usually our snowier month. So either way, win. Can't wait. So excited. Yay! So we'll see what happens. I'm very excited to get down with this series. Oh, yes. What else is going on? Oh, so with Red and I working on the bracket for Munch Madness, we got a chance to catch up, and of course I had to bring it up, and I knew I was in store for quite the story, but I had to ask Red's opinion of the live action Tim Burton Addams Family. I know, I was just asking for it. Well, you have to understand something. Red is an aficionado when it comes to Chaz Adams' Addams Family. She absolutely adores it. It's one of her faves. And to kind of get the gists from her, and of course, if you missed it, they announced When Did This Day's Addams live action series from Tim Burton lands at Netflix. They are... Netflix has ordered basically 8 episodes of Addams Family. So the fact that they're doing this, yay! I'm very curious to see what they do. Strictly from the standpoint of at least they're kind of moving forward with the story, and even in Red and I both agreed if they approached it to Wednesday is kind of more like Morticia, and of course Pugsley is more like Uncle Fester, you know, of the group, and you kind of, you know, circle through whatever happened to Gomez. Maybe he's grandpa instead of grandma, and you know, just different kind of twists on the show originally would be kind of cool. And of course everyone is wondering whether or not they're going to actually get Christina Ricci to come back to reprise her role as Wednesday, which I think would be kind of cool. Johnny Depp as Gomez, not cool, but and of course Red's immediate response is, God, let's pretty God, Tim Burton doesn't fuck this up. Because right away, Tim Burton wants to put stripes on something and call it horror, which is incorrect. So the animated cartoon movie that had come out for Addams Family was actually really well done. It was much better than any of us thought it was going to be and is really worth a watch. Charlize Theron as the voice of Morticia was perfect, spot on. And of course there were the usual gags and stuff like that, but all in all, an absolute perfect rendition of the Addams Family, modern day Addams Family. But if they do this, I don't know if I've lost faith in Tim Burton, but actually after watching, I think it was it was another one of the Netflix specials. It was like it was the Christmas movies that made us. It was only like 2 episodes. It was Home Alone and Nightmare Before Christmas. There's nothing else. And I just kind of laughed. It's like, well, you know, there's other Christmas movies. Die Hard, Lethal Weapon. You know, there's other Christmas movies out there that you can do. It was like, because, oh, yeah, I guess an Elf was in there too. So maybe wherever that landed, but it just kind of cracked me up. Of course, everyone in there just spoke so ill of Tim Burton, and he basically wasn't there. He wasn't hardly there for the project. It was ran by, you know, all of the underlings because Burton was too consumed with Batman at the time, and he had most of his time split there between Disney, and he just kind of slapped his name on it. So yeah, we were right. But at any point, the fact that he's going to do this could be good. I mean, show us something different or not. Or I don't know. I really don't know, because this could go any number of ways. He could just be a part of the project. They could actually have someone else, you know, do the scripting, the directing, and all of that, and he just is kind of executive producer and kind of organizing all of this. It might be really good. So, and it is something different. We're always saying we want something new. We want something different. We don't want to, you know, rehash or a reboot or just another re-envisioning of a story that we have been told 20-some different times. We get it. Spider-Man got bit by a radioactive spider. We don't need to see it again. So in that kind of philosophy, in that approach, to have something a little different, I mean, it might work out. So, and you having the Addams Family in this day and age told through Wednesday's eyes, I think makes a lot more sense than having the, you know, the older Addams Family. So, different time, different era. I think it's a great idea, but needless to say, we will see what ends up happening. We'll see. I'll get Red's opinion on this, I'm sure, as more examples and story leak out on this, especially because no one's been named on this, I don't think, as I go through my notes. But, I mean, right away, of course, everyone is jumping on either, you know, getting Christina Ricci back, or since, you know, Helen Bonham Carter has been ousted and replaced by Eva Green, there's a good possibility that she could be Wednesday. Who knows? There's that's the problem right now. There is more rumor than fact. There are more people speculating than actually talking. And it's very interesting from a spectator standpoint, but when you're trying to actually, you know, report on stuff and talk about, you know, well, here's the state of it, really makes it a challenge. It's actually kind of fun because I've seen some interesting things come across my desk. People are like, did you see this? Yeah, that's not real. Did you see the new trailer? Yeah, that's a fan-made trailer from 5 years ago. So, and of course, the big story that landed last week was Netflix has the rights to Punisher and Jessica Jones, which they already did. That wasn't new, and there was no contractual restrictions on those guys. So that's always been free. They're free. Free as the wind. So, yeah, it's very entertaining to see the speculation, the popcorn, the sideline stuff going on, because it's not all of it's true. Not all of it. All right, what else? Two more points. Wow, got through that pretty quick. Two more points. Quick in comic book news, The Last Ronin, number 2 landed, and I am just awesome. Holy shit. I had reservations at the beginning when they revealed which turtle made it to the end. What's the last turtle standing? But, and I even put this in my top 5 review, thinking about it, that is the absolute right thing to do, because it eliminates a lot of speculation. It eliminates so much nonsense. It leaves the door completely open to tell story. We know who it is. That eliminates so much conjecture, and maybe the mystery would have been fun, but at the same point, to have the interactions and what's going on with the story, it makes absolute sense that they revealed who it is, because now we can find out the rest of the story. How did the turtles fall, and who fell when, and what's the story? If you're a Turtles fan, if you've ever watched the show, if you ever read the comic, if you ever played with the toy, this comic series is for you. It is, even if you're not a diehard Turtle fan, even if you just kind of admire them from afar, the storytelling and everything so far, and it's only 2 issues, so there's so much left to go. The next one won't be out until May, I think, number 3. It's just so captivating. It pulls you in. There's been some major revelations already. with just the two issues, not only the who's the last turtle standing, but as far as, you know, characters, and I don't want to give any spoilers away, because that's not what I'm trying to do. I want you to read this. I think this is worth your time to read. I know the first print, number one, sold out like in seconds, and I know that there's a fair amount of price gouging that went on the day of its release, but since then they have released additional printings. If you just want to read it, I strongly encourage you to do so. And I know they're already doing a second and third print on number two. If it sold out at your local shop, I'm sure you can find it online. Or if you even want to just read it digitally, it is worth the money. I know it's got a $8.99 price tag, cover price on it, and it is worth every penny of it. You're not going to be disappointed. And it's just kind of fun to just kind of see how it ends. I mean, everyone always wants to know, well, how does it end? And I don't know if this is going to necessarily be the end of the story or how this plays out, but there are some definite questions, and I'm sure they'll answer them. I'm guaranteeing by the end of this, we will have all the answers. And this, like I said, was meant to be the final story. This was the last arc. So pick it up. Worth the read. And yeah, that's all I can really say about that. So good. And this week's take, last take, as soon as I switch over. There we go. So as I've been perusing through different formats, different things, different shows, there have been some huge standouts and some surprise hits, and there's also been some very kind of meh things. And I don't know what happened. Like, all of a sudden, I don't know if HBO, oh no, Showtime? Is it Showtime? I think it's Showtime. Showtime's listening to me, but just the other day I was like, we really should just have all the Lethal Weapons available, and boom, they're just like, Showtime has just been running like all four films back to back. So I've been stuck down that rabbit hole a couple of times, as well as the Ford versus Ferrari rabbit hole. That movie is just perfect. I love that film. If you haven't watched it, you don't even have to be a gearhead or a car enthusiast. You don't even need, if you hate cars, just the dynamic between Matt Damon and Christian Bale in that film is spectacular. I love that film. And of course, it is all about the history. John Bentonall, who is the Punisher, plays Lee Iacocca, a young Lee Iacocca, and it's so well shot, so well acted. If you haven't seen Ford versus Ferrari, and I know we did a meat and potatoes review of it because it was Spud was completely hooked on that. It's worth the watch, even just from a history standpoint, even if you're not like into cars, but you're just curious about history and interactions and all that. Really worth the watch. So anyway, out of those things that I've named off, there was on Netflix that's something that completely pulled me in, and it was just kind of this is suggested for you as I was bouncing around, because I've been trying not to like binge the shit out of everything, because I'm working my way through Harley over on HBO Max, because I'm like, I'll watch a couple episodes and then skip, you know. It's kind of become a Saturday, I'm doing Saturday morning cartoons. I really am. I'll sit down Saturday morning and watch a couple of episodes of Harley, and there'll be a take coming on that one. So stand by. As soon as I finish my Saturday morning cartoons, it works so well. But that's coming. What did hook me while I was bouncing around and trying to find something else to watch, Space Sweepers, which is this, you know, absolutely well-done, crafted story of sci-fi, anime, and just plain fun post-apocalyptic world of everything. I mean, of course you have your fun little band of dysfunctional adventurers that are trying to get by in the day-to-day, and everything is just so, I don't know, I don't want to say over the top, but it's just very intricate. And the dynamic that they have built all of these characters, of course they're so cliche. Each one checks a box, without a doubt. But by the time you get to the end of the story, By the time the movie wraps, they've grown, they've changed, they've taken on different roles. You get the backstory of all of them, and the way it's told and laid out before you is absolutely masterful storytelling. It's an anime come to life, and it's probably some of the best effects and sci-fi work that I have seen for a while. I mean, probably this one actually kind of registered as high for me as like Korean Odyssey, because I was so just hooked on that story. Absolutely. But of course, I, you know, love the Monkey King, and I'm all about the Chinese zodiac characters and the gods and all of that. And it was fun. So is this. This is so much fun to watch. And it's 2 hours, but it doesn't feel like it. I got through this and I wanted to watch it again. I really did, because there's just so much that's going on. And to achieve the effects and what they do with the ships and the robots and all of that live action is, I had to applaud it. I really, really do. It's absolutely entertaining and way more than I honestly thought it was going to be, because I thought it was just going to be kind of, I don't want to say, you know, clunky or just bad writing or, you know, poor set designs. No, they took their time. The integration of all the different rate, you know, like the French people and the Russians, and everyone's speaking their languages, so you get subtitles, and it just works. It works so well, and everyone just kind of, I don't know, and I can't really say functions, but it works. It really does. So the premise, you've got, so the whole, it's a dystopian world. Earth is not in the best of shape, as you can imagine, and the spaceways are cluttered with junk and debris, and these space sweepers go through and scavenge for what they can, and of course then resell it, hence the name, space sweepers. So, and from that, of course, each one has their own problems. There's money problems because everything's tight in the future. Who knew? And it just really lends for some very realistic characters. Then comes the story and the introduction of this little girl that is basically, I don't want to give it away. But they come in contact with this little girl and everything kind of expands from that as they explain the characters. Of course, there's some kind of, there's one or two holes, but they're not like glaring holes, and they do leave things for you to interpret. They don't bright up the story by, you know, force feeding you anything. It really, you kind of can come to your own conclusions, but like I said, there are minor holes, but nothing that really detracts or distracts from the story. And I really liked this one. I liked it more than I thought I was going to, and it turned out to be a much more solid hit for me than expected. So, by all means, give it a watch. Let me know what you think, because I'm on board. Nobody else has watched it with me, so I've got no one to talk to about it. So, somebody watch this so we can talk and compare notes, because I've already watched it a couple of times, and me talking to myself just as well. Wait, that sounds like a podcast. Anyway, what else? I think that kind of wraps this week up. Next week, we will be back. Me, Ryan, and or PJ and Wakeman. Sorry, Ryan Wakeman. But we call him Wakeman. PJ, of course, from PJ Pop Culture. And I will be back in the studio. We will be doing our news. We will be doing our toy review. And this week's geeky cocktail, which I actually had to go buy more ingredients for because I drank all of the last one. So it was pretty tasty. I got to admit, that one turned out way, way more tastier than I thought it was going to. But if you want to see what it was, you'll have to tune in next week on the podcast on the YouTube channel. If you haven't liked us, please do. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, 5280 Geek, and you can see the fantastic beer tasting that went on in Outworld, in addition to our first in-studio podcast for recording. So, yeah, it's growing. It's getting better. Of course, like, share us. If you have any comics. Yeah, if you got comics, I'll take those. If you have any comments, please let me know. I'm always open to input, questions, and things that you're just curious about, and I can give you some answers. So in the meantime, run fast, laugh hard, and always be kind.